This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have the Paracast Plus, our premium package where we offer the ad-free version of this show and the After the Paracast podcast. And you will be hearing the continuation of this discussion on After the Paracast with Chris Rutkowski. We have basically roped him in to stay with us. We're not letting him leave his chair. Of course, he might tell us he's actually standing. I know some people do this, or they stand, or like John Lennon allegedly did when they sang the single version of Revolution, lying on his back. Was that true? I don't know.
Is that even true?
They did really weird things. I mean, they would have this hallway to create echo effects at the Abbey Road studios. They didn't do it electronically like they do now. And they would do things there. They did all sorts of really weird stuff to create unusual sounds. And one of the first people to use the Mellotron was Paul McCartney in Strawberry Fields Forever. All this trivia. Back to UFOs. So, Chris, the big argument here is perspective. We see UFOs here. We have astronomers looking out there. They're not seeing anything weird, if they are even looking, because they're using their computers now. But if UFOs, flying saucers, UAPs, UAOs, whatever you want to call them, or spaceships, wouldn't we see something out there?
Absolutely, and that's something that Phil Plait and a few others have pointed out, that, you know, astronomers, while they wouldn't be experts in what's happening in the low Earth's atmosphere, you know, if there was an interplanetary spaceship coming from, you know, a distant star, astronomical instruments would certainly see that. We mentioned Kevin Randall, of course, one of his great series of books on interstellar travel. I think there's a series of four. I can't remember the titles right now. But it has to deal with an object that was detected by astronomers, and eventually it's revealed as a large spaceship from another planet. These are the types of things that astronomers argue that, you know, if there was something from another planet coming, we'd certainly see it. And you might have remembered the object that was seen zipping through our space, through our solar system. I can never pronounce it, Onanomahura or...
Oumuamua.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting. Just so our listeners don't get too confused, Kevin Randall also writes fiction. So you were talking about his fictional books there, not
right.
When were they actually... did detect an interstellar craft, right?
Right, yeah. In fact, that series of four fictional books in a series are probably one of the best, probably accurate envisions of what might happen if we actually detected an interstellar spaceship coming towards Earth. He did a bang up job. It's really quite good. Those are the types of things that we might be able to detect. And it is actually curious why, if UFOs do represent, you know, travelers from another planet, how come we don't see the mothership like that? And of course, Close Encounters of the Third Kind neatly dances around this completely and ignores that, because the giant mothership seen at the end is never seen from Earth until it magically appears over the mountain. So, you know, there are some issues here. Now, one can, you know, start flapping your arms and talk and waving your hands about, well, you know, there's going to be cloaking devices and Klingon bird of prey and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, if they don't want to be seen, if they're that advanced in technology, we wouldn't necessarily be able to see them. So you can throw those arguments in as much as you want. And of course, some of the arguments lead to discussions in terms of time travelers. Well, maybe they're not. Maybe interstellar travel is not possible. And what we're actually seeing are people who, traveling to visit us from the future.
Isn't that even more far out there when you think about it? I mean, interstellar travel, at least we know this universe exists. We know that travel within our experiential time continuum is possible. But apart from that, we don't know that we can actually change it other than through our normal laws of physics where, you know, there things, time does slow down and speed up a little bit, but sci-fi like time travel, there's no way that we can say that that is even necessarily an actual possibility at this point of view. But the nearest star is only 4.2 light years away. Even at half the speed of light, if there's a planet there, which there is, who knows? I mean, that's, you know, that it doesn't sound that impossible.
Well, yeah, although, you know, we can't get anywhere near half the speed of light right now, and there's nothing even on the horizon in terms of approaching that. However, when I make this point in my lectures, that I'm not talking about breaking the physics laws, I'm talking about bending the physics laws, and that's certainly possible. And, you know, if since our star is an average star, which means that there's stars a little bit older, and when I say a little bit older, I'm not just talking 100 years, I'm talking a million years, and around those other stars might be planets on which there might be evolved life and intelligently evolved life with a bit of a head start, not just 100 years, but let's say 10,000, 100,000 years. They may have evolved to the point where they could travel between the stars or figure out a way of bending the laws of physics to do that, and that's what we're talking about. And if you're talking about bending the laws of physics, then it's possible that you wouldn't need to physically travel in a spaceship 4.6 light years between Alpha Centauri and us. It might be possible to, you know, start out, you know, and bend the laws so that you are suddenly here, displaced in space and time somehow. That's
Stargate.
All science fiction. Stargate. Yeah, it's wonderful science fiction, but of course, you know, until we have some physical proof, it is all science fiction. But it's the fact that we're living in the Steven Spielberg, or I suppose the James Cameron, world right now, where we can, you know, talk about aliens traveling between the stars and, you know, we were just talking about Alpha Centauri, which is where some of those James Cameron's movies are set. That we're able to talk in terms of traveling, and we can envision these possibilities of what aliens look like. You just have to turn on your TV or go to a movie, whenever you can go to a movie to see that. So the possibility of aliens being here is kind of an assumption. So are they getting here? I don't know. We don't have that physical proof. Now, experiencers say that they do have the proof, but not physical proof.
Okay, so now we're into this whole issue of proof again. So, you know, so proof is simply evidence that is sufficient to justify belief in a claim. Now, for some people, that evidence is of a different kind, or it requires more or less of it. So, you know, proof really is a subjective term, isn't it?
Ooh, I don't know if that's true. I think proof is objective, because if you actually, you know, talk in terms of proof that a metamaterial is truly from another planet, there are tests that can be done physically on that metamaterial to prove one way or another. And so in that sense, the proof would be very, very objective. But in terms of belief systems and you know, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt to somebody who is firmly entrenched in their belief systems, proof is, in fact, very, very different. One only has to venture into the area of religion gingerly to try and prove the existence of God or a deity of your choice, that you get into some very interesting philosophical and theosophical discussions about what constitutes proof to a person when belief is, you know, simply not enough, or you have such a strong belief that you can, you know, believe that manifestations do represent, you know, some encounter with a deity of some kind. So, yeah, I mean, in some cases, I would have to agree that proof can be subjective, but a truly objective basis of, you know, if we're talking about physics, you know, nuts and bolts, then there are some limitations on that.
Right. Well, then we're talking about what would be called scientifically valid material evidence.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a scientifically valid announcement here. Hopefully. We have Gene, Chris, and Randall. You're in.
The PowerCast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true, open pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Yes, he should have a future as an announcer when he's 97. He became the world's foremost authority after Irwin Corey died.
Edwin R. Murrow?
Well, you guys have lost me, so.
We lost each other. We just haven't started. You don't know who Edward R. Murrow was, Randall?
No. You can tell us, though. Tell us who Edward R. Murrow was, is.
Oh, he was Gene's contemporary, probably.
let's just say a few years off from that.
Yeah.
Somewhat before.
What was he best
time.
Known for?
He was a broadcaster. He presented the news with a stentorian, authoritarian voice.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, I knew stentorian well. I knew him in junior high school in physics class. No, I'm kidding.
So like a Walter Cronkite or something.
Before Cronkite, yeah.
Oh, before Cronkite, because I remember Cronkite, you know, with the mustache and everything. Everybody remembers. Well, I mean, not everybody, but people who were, I guess, over 60 would.
He's dating us, Gene.
Well, okay, just to date him even more, Edward R. Murrow died in 1965.
Oh, yeah, before my time.
Yeah, he didn't die at a very old age. He was born in 1908, so it was like 57 years old. And I think it was lung cancer. I might be wrong.
Yeah, he smoked like a smokestack, if I recall.
So was he like Frank Edwards and stuff, where he would do like reports on UFOs?
Well, he may have covered UFOs in one of his shows, but no, he was a straight-ahead radio and TV anchor.
Yeah, yeah, an early news anchor, I suppose, is how we can describe him.
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Before there
primarily
was
for CBS.
Yes.
Okay, well, before the break, we were talking a little bit about proof. So what we have really, I think what we need to be talking about is evidence and the different kinds of evidence. So we have scientifically valid material evidence, and then we have evidence that isn't material but might be considered more of a soft science, like the psychology side of things, where people have an experience which is limited to their subjective perception of the events.
Yes.
And so there is some science involved there. The science of vision is fairly well known. We know if we see things, there probably is something there as opposed to not something there. But it's not the same as having that slab of metamaterials you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you get into evidence. People often say, you know, there's 10,000 or 20,000 UFO reports. You know, surely that's proof that we're being visited. Except that if you look at those individual reports, they themselves don't constitute evidence. But at the same time, you know, if a person, you know, you have to see the old expression.
Well, hang on. I think UFO reports constitute evidence, but what kind of evidence do they constitute is the question. They don't constitute verifiable, scientifically valid material evidence, but I think people seeing things and reporting them can be considered evidence.
Evidence of what, though?
Evidence that an experience is alleged to have taken place.
Yeah, there's no question of that. Yeah. I mean, it's the old, you know, I won't see it until I see it with my own eyes. Well, what happens if somebody does see a UFO with their own eyes and they can't explain it? To them, that is not just evidence, it's proof. Proof that, you know, the aliens are really here because they saw a flying saucer. And I've spoken with many, many witnesses over the years who said, yeah, you know, I didn't believe in this sort of stuff until I saw it myself, and that thing didn't fly like a plane. It wasn't a helicopter. You know, it wasn't a shooting star. It was something else. I believe that we're being visited now. That is the conversion of a witness into a believer, and that, you know, is the only evidence that that person needs. Their next door neighbor, though, who hasn't had that experience, will never have that, you know, that same conversion experience unless it happens to them as well. But the two people, you know, are living in different, entirely different belief systems now, where one has experienced it and the other one has not, and their whole worldview is different. They're still, you know, living on the same planet.
That is such an excellent observation, and I hope that when you're teaching this, that you are able to convey some of this to the people that you teach, because being a witness to a UFO myself, and we have to get back to whether or not you have seen one as well, but it's true. Those of us who do believe alien visitation is a reality, we might not know exactly where they're from and all the details, but we know that there is something alien visiting our planet. And when you know that without any doubt, the world definitely is a different place to you than to someone who thinks, well, it might be the case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really quite fascinating I've attended enough UFO conferences and sat in on experiencers workshops. You know, it's fascinating to me. People have asked me, where I stand on all of this. And I'm not invested in the UFO phenomenon in that way. For me, I don't have to prove that aliens exist or not. I'm fascinated with the phenomenon of UFOs. That means I'm fascinated by the reports. I'd like to know more about what people have seen and what they're continuing to see. I'm fascinated by the fact I can go to conferences and workshops and listen to people and engage in conversation with them about their beliefs and what they've had happen to them themselves. The publications, the UFO zines, the huckster rooms, the atmosphere, the movies and TV series that spin off that drive people's belief in this type of thing. For me, it's a fascinating phenomenon and a very much of a human phenomenon.
Definitely. The cultural side of it, I would say, is not over 90% of ufology is all about the culture. And I have to agree with you. For me, my belief in the reality of it just makes all of the cultural stuff sort of that much more interesting and better. But even without the reality of it, it's still fascinating and it can be a lot of fun as well as educational, because when people have to think about it seriously, you covered a lot of scientific ground there in order to explain what these things might or might not be. And I think ufology and UFOs have inspired a lot of real life science.
I wanted to just bring up here something we touched on before, the experiences. The experiencers, channeling, being abducted, meeting E.T. What's going on with these people? Are they having genuine experiences? And if those experiences are genuine, what are they? Are they connected with what we see as UFOs? Or are they separate? Certainly Jerry Clark will separate UFOs and the experience phenomenon. More to come with Chris Rutkowski, who will also be on After the Paracast this week with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
An upset at the Kentucky Derby. Larry Combs with a call for NBC Sports. Outside the gates, protesters calling for racial justice. Michael George has more.
Protesters gathered near Churchill Downs as the 146th Kentucky Derby was getting underway. Demonstrators are calling for justice after the police shooting death of Breonna Taylor in her Louisville apartment in March.
Black Lives Matter!
In Portland, Oregon, police are preparing for the 100th night of consecutive protests.
I understand that they're tired, but at the same time, we're tired of you killing black people.
Police say rocks were thrown at them on Friday night.
This is USA Radio News. Experts are warning that Labor Day could be a super-spreading weekend for COVID-19. USA Radio Network's Tim Berg has some tips on how you should stay safe this holiday weekend.
One of the nation's top infectious disease experts, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says he would be comfortable getting a coronavirus vaccine if it's proven to be safe and effective. As far as keeping our guard up during the coronavirus pandemic over the holiday weekend, Surgeon General Jerome Adams tells ABC's Good Morning America we need to mask up and stay vigilant regarding the coronavirus.
Well, I'm very concerned when you look at Memorial Day, July 4th. We hit a peak in this country on July 24th, which was about 2 to 3 weeks after the 4th of July. So we know that during these holidays, people come together for barbecues, for picnics. They travel. And that sets us up for spread of a highly contagious disease like COVID-19.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Chris, what is happening to these people who have these close-up and personal encounters with a lot more than a strange object in the sky?
Well, you know, that's a fascinating subject, all to itself. And one of my books is actually on UFO abductions, called Abductions and Aliens, What's Really Going On. It's now, almost 20 years old, that book. You know,
yeah. Does that mean the book's growing a beard now?
Yeah, exactly. I actually facilitated a abductee support group back a number of years ago as well, very briefly. And the reason I did it very briefly is, you know, I had actually spoken with Bud Hopkins. I followed the literature, talked with Jacobs and so forth. And the idea was to try and understand what it is, because I was having people coming up to me at my lectures and talks and, saying that they've had these experiences. And I actually had a military officer come show up at my office door and say, you know, he can't talk to his CO about this, but he thinks that he was abducted by aliens. What do you do with those types of cases? And, you know, I had enough of these. I thought, well, and I had people coming to me and say, is there a support group? And I thought, well, it would be interesting. It might be useful. So I got a group together, and I did all the right things in terms of therapy and counseling sessions. You know, what's said in the room stays in the room. You know, no crosstalk. You know, had policies and all this sort of stuff. And I quickly realized that it wasn't going to be productive necessarily. It was more for the benefit of the experiencers themselves than for anything really in terms of research, because the stages of belief and the stages of the experiences were really varied. I mean, there were people in the group who had one experience and didn't know what to make of it, and then you had lifelong experiencers who had hybrid babies in every planet between here and Andromeda. There were people who were convinced the aliens were evil, and there were people who were equally as convinced that the aliens were benevolent. And they would actually get into fights in some of the meetings. And it quickly was apparent to me that ufologists are probably the last people who should be involved in working with experiencers. And the reason I said that is because I quickly encountered and met people who had serious psychosocial issues. Some people had attempted suicide because of their experiences, because the aliens were constantly watching them. Some had huge levels of anxiety. Some were clearly paranoid. Some had one woman who had experienced an invasive abduction in her own bedroom that later, through counseling, revealed it was actually a screen memory of a date rape. And there were many like this that made me think, you know, ufologists are the least suited for dealing with this. So I had worked very closely with clinical psychologists, not because experiencers were quote-unquote crazy, but because there were a lot of issues involved into their own lives that, you know, that ufologists are simply not trained for. And so I, you know, backed out of that. I still have worked with some on occasion, and I understand the issues involved, and you know, what is being experienced is quite fascinating, but I don't necessarily think that field investigators are the people who should be working with abductees. Certainly therapists and counselors who can better sympathize with what's going on and help people work through some of their distress, because, you know, if you look at it that way, certainly being abducted by aliens would certainly give you anxiety and distress and might lead to depression and suicidal thoughts. And for me, it's very, very important that people who are experiencing such events get help. And whether it's professional help from counselors or psychiatrists or from people who are simply fascinated and working with individuals like that. David Gottlieb, for example, in Toronto, who was a general practitioner who ended up using hypnosis in his work with abductees is a good example of this, that it's just a matter of working with and being sympathetic with experiencers. I also have worked with some who, you know, who have gone beyond experiencers into the contactee realm. That certainly causes people to roll their eyes sometimes. And my comment about contactees today is that the contactees of the 1950s were certainly a lot more fun. Giant Rock would have probably turned away a lot of the people who are, coming forward today at UFO conferences about star seeds and so forth. But, there's no question that something is going on. I don't think it's as at the same level as Omni Magazine's survey that I think they said sort of like 50 or 60% of the population have had abduction experiences. I think we're probably somewhat lower than that. And whether they actually represent contact with aliens, I don't see the proof, whether it's physical, tangible, or experiential, that's going on. But there's something clearly going on in the nature of who we are in our quest for ourselves that suggests that it's something that's worth looking into. And the good news is there's a lot of doctoral theses that are being published every year on the abduction phenomenon, in whether it's interviews directly with abductees and experiencers or something beyond that, that people are taking it seriously at an academic level. And it's not a matter of being laughed at. It's not a matter of pointing fingers. It's saying what can be done to help and work with people who are experiencing things like this.
Now, when I look at this, the claim of a physical contact really can be refuted in different ways. Number one, the ubiquity, the fact that so many people have it. The other is, well, if you're an advanced alien species, how many genetic samples must you take before you cover the variations? How many? And why do you need to subject people to sometimes painful examinations? You could do this in a way that the experiencer, whatever they are, the victim, the abductee, wouldn't even know it.
Absolutely true. And in terms of how many samples are enough, Well, I hate to mention the pandemic, but how much testing is needed? All of it.
Yeah, there we go. We've got our nice one, Chris.
Yeah, I work with enough graduate students and microbiologists that there's never enough sampling. Never.
Yeah, well, those are all really good points. And also, there are cases where people claim, you know, they don't remember anything. They just have missing time. That's pretty hard to erase. You know, they're in one place all of a sudden, and then they're in another place. A bunch of time has gone by, and they don't really remember anything. Sometimes they have a vague recollection of some weird light in the sky. Sometimes they do see a UFO. But a lot of times, people just really don't know. They just have this missing time. So that kind of fits the profile if you want to do it without people knowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the question here is then, why would it necessarily be the result of an abduction? There are reasons why people can black out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be medication. It could be a medical problem. It doesn't have to mean that they are abducted. They could wake up, oh, my God, 7 hours have passed. You see this, by the way, in the third season of a TV show on Amazon called Goliath. Okay? It's about a lawyer who gets involved in all these crazy cases. It's produced by David E. Kelly, so you know it's going to be a screwy show. And the same thing is, he's being given a drug. And as a result of that drug influence, he has hallucinations and missing time. And we do not have to assume that anytime someone suddenly is missing a couple of hours, that E.T. came down in a spaceship, picked them up, probed their private parts, and sent them back to Earth. I just don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, sure. No, yeah, it's a valid point.
More to come with Chris Rutkowski, and he'll stay for After the Paracast. With Gina and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As you see, as the show progresses, Randall becomes more robotic. He's going to become a cyborg, right, Chris?
I have no doubt of that whatsoever. And as far as memory and erased memory and so forth, you know, I say if you remember being abducted by aliens, it's because it was actually a military operation that implanted those memories. And if you don't remember being abducted, it's because the aliens erased your memory.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. In all your research, we have the Men in Black legends. We have reports occasionally that some of the key UFO sightings were the result of some kind of government experimentation. Certainly, Nick Redfern has written about that a few times, and he's mentioned this, of course, in his frequent appearances on the Paracast. What do you think? There's a test aspect to some of this UFO stuff?
Well, you know, there probably is. I draw on my knowledge of Canadian history to know about the LSD experiments by the CIA at universities across Canada, where some famous personalities, I think the wife of a famous Canadian politician, I think the last name was Orlico, was given some LSD for an experiment and had some really wild trips and eventually had to be psychiatrically hospitalized. There's no question that some of this is occurring. There's also a very amazing book by, the last name is O'Brien, Elizabeth O'Brien, somebody O'Brien, called Operators and Things, which is a first-person account of a person with schizophrenia who eventually does come out of the schizophrenic experience, but talks in terms of seeing these entities, creatures from another planet and so forth, who are interacting with her. No one else could see them except her, and would interact with her on a daily basis, directing her life. Just she was walking around, going to the grocery store and interacting with other people, and she was the only person who was seeing these other creatures. So because those types of experiences do exist and are being experienced by people, one has to incorporate this into some understanding of ufology and abduction experiences. And whether there's clandestine experiments going on with the CIA in the United States through my lab and those types of things, there's no question that some strange stuff is going on. You know, whether people are staring at goats or not is a matter of belief. But there are some experiments going on.
They've got another series coming out now about what's been going on at Skinwalker Ranch, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you think of that whole thing? I mean, that just smacks to me of some kind of experimental testing facility or area or something, because we know that they do that. We've had John Alexander on. So, you know, PSYOPs is real. It's not just fiction.
Yeah, although Michael Banias, I don't think you've had MJ Banias on. Speaking of another
Yes, have had him on several times, and he'll be back possibly later this month. I understand he's had a new addition to his family. Congratulations, yes. MJ. And we look forward to getting him scheduled probably very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, he was at Skinwalker Ranch. He went there. Most people don't know that he's one of the people who's helped me with the Canadian UFO survey physically, because we've gone for drinks all the time, and he's in the same city as me. So we get together quite a bit. He told me about his experiences at Skinwalker before the articles and stories came out, and I think he was there during the filming, if I'm not mistaken, as well, of some of the series. His view is there's something going on, but probably not to the extent that is hyped by the TV show. But now this is all secondhand. You'd have to get it from him himself. Are there experiments going on? Probably. To the extent that, you know, they would contribute significantly to the abduction phenomenon, I have my own personal doubts on that.
Well, if it was certainly part of the picture, it would be, I think, kind of excessive. On the other hand, something like Barney and Betty Hill, there are, I think, logical reasons to think it could have been. 1961, interracial couple, the time when they had to go through a lot of problems dealing with people. They lived near a military base, counted amongst their friends the military. And we have the classic profile of a UFO abduction, but could it have been due to some kind of military experimentation? Now, certainly, Kathleen Martin, Betty Hill's niece, will say no. To her, it was a real experience involving an encounter with possible alien beings. But I don't know. I still get that little buzz in my gut saying there's something more there.
Well, one only has to look at the story of Paul Benowitz to realize that there is such intelligence operations on people's belief systems and life. So, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I just wonder if it's still happening today. I would think so many crazy things are happening. The least of it would be the military or any top secret agency wanting to get involved in that anymore. I think if people are having experiences now, there are reasons for it, but it wouldn't be necessarily that. It's also possible, by the way, that some of the sightings we have could be test aircraft of some sort. And given for the variances in eyewitness testimony and a lot of cultural influence, this can become that real easily.
I agree completely.
Okay, well, that's all sort of really great when it comes to, you know, sightings by adults, you know, because abductions in adults and all of that. You've also got another book, I Saw It Too, Real UFO Sightings by Kids. Do you think that they're playing these games with children too?
Oh, I don't know if that's necessarily what's happening with kids, but it's been fascinating to me the fact that there are cases on record where children, in some cases, significant numbers of children, in the case of the school children in Africa, for example, where they have had experiences and out of the mouths of babes, as sometimes said, would a child, admittedly with an active imagination, report these types of things and have the same experiences that adults are reporting without too much influence? There's some fascinating cases on record where kids have had close encounters and they just sort of said, yeah, we talked to the aliens and they gave us a cookie and, you know, took off again. And as a matter of fact, not seeking to impress anybody with their statements, whether they're true or not, we're not sure. And whether, you know, getting into the proof and truth is a matter of opinion in some cases. But the fact that kids have had these experiences was very interesting to me. So I gathered together a set of cases where children had some encounters and put it together in a book along with enrichment, some value added. So asking the questions, do you believe? What would you do if you encountered a creature like what was seen? How would you describe it? Would you tell your parents? You know, is it possible that aliens would look like this? So it's actually, you know, designed for, written by, in some cases using the children's own words from testimony, but also drawn. I actually had a manga artist draw the illustrations for it.
Oh, very cool.
Let's end this main segment of the PowerCast and pick this up in after the PowerCast. Get some case histories there. For those who are really, really interested in finding out more of what you do, tell us, where do they go?
You can check me out on Facebook, Chris Wachowski, or go to survey.canadianuforeport.com to look at the latest Canadian UFO survey.
And, of course, every few months he's on the PowerCast. He'll be back in a moment if you're listening to After the PowerCast for this week. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the PowerCast. You can find us on Facebook with two official PowerCast fan club groups, things, whatever. Facebook gets more inscrutable as the Zuckerbergs get richer and richer. I don't want to connect it. Get branded merchandise. If you go to thepowercast.shop, we've got throw pillows and T-shirts. And even Richard Kiel, the late Richard Kiel, if he were alive today at 7'2", we would have something that would fit him. Believe it or not, we have a wide range of sizes there. Even for Mini-Me, I think we'd have a size for Mini-Me, too. ThePowerCast.shop. Check out ThePowerCast.plus for the PowerCast Plus subscription. We give you the version of the show free of the network ads with enhanced audio. So those dulcet tones from Chris Rutkowski are more dulcet, if that's possible. We also have the After the PowerCast podcast. You never know what's going to happen next. And quite often we feature continuations of our interviews because there's always so much to talk about. So we want you to check it out. Special low subscription rates for the duration of this rather unfortunate crisis we have. Go to thepowercast.plus for the latest rates to subscribe. Chris Rutkowski, thanks for joining us on the PowerCast.
Good to be here.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.